time. The silent herald of life and death, success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
Wonderful of you to come.
Oh, I do hope I'm not late, Morton.
No, you're the last to arrive, my dear, but you're not late.
Your note was so specific.
Here, let me take your wrap.
Cocktails at 9, dinner at 9:30.
And you're right on the dot.
A very private and special occasion. And here in this flat, Edwin's flat, it all sounded so mysterious.
Mysterious? For me to want to see some old friends? Some of Edwin's friends? Oh, my dear, that's nonsense. As for the carved round dinner... Well, I took over this flat 5 years ago after Edwin died.
Yes, sir, I knew you had.
And there was such a general scattering of his friends after his death that... Well, this is the first time I've been able to find everyone I wanted in London at the same time. Now, do come along, my dear.
Oh, Morton.
Well, you know everyone in there, Malvina.
Oh, Simon Forbes and Raymond Stern. Of course I know them. And I know your sister-in-law, Morton. But I'm not sure Hester will wish to know me.
Malvina... Edwin's tragedy occurred 5 years ago.
And his death was the only thing that kept him from divorcing Hester and marrying me. And I thought you medical men were paragons of tact.
Oh, now, Malvina. You're worrying needlessly, I assure you. You just go along into the drawing room and say hello to everybody. I have to see to the cocktail.
Oh, very well, Horton. You're the doctor.
So, they all came. I knew they would. Well, the actors are here. The stage is set. Now we'll let the play begin.
I find the entire thing too morbid. I'm not at all sure I shall stay for dinner.
Hester, Morton's gone to a great deal of trouble to bring us all together.
After all, it's been years since we've seen one another.
Well, now, here we are, everybody.
Ah, cocktails, wonderful.
A special mixture suitable for the occasion. Malvina, Hester.
Oh, Morton, how can you bear living in this flat after everything that's happened here?
Thank you, Morton. Was it here that Edwin was signed? I didn't know that.
Simon, yours.
Thank you.
There, now, before we start, I should like to offer a toast, which, like all toasts, is to be drunk standing.
Oh, one day, and then I'm going. I cannot stand this place. It's too full of memories.
Ah, but this is an occasion for memories, Hester. For memories and a toast to memories. Ladies and gentlemen, to the memory of my late brother, Edwin Eager.
Edwin. Morton, what on earth? I seem to have swallowed something in my drink.
Yes, so did I. I do hope you haven't done the unforgivable and left bits of ice in cocktails.
Not ice, Simon. An olive, I'm certain of it. Oh, really, Morton, you might have warned us.
Those drinks are so dark, one couldn't see if there's anything in them or not, old boy.
Morton, why are you looking at us like that?
Just watching your reactions.
Is this some sort of joke?
And here is something else to react to. All of you. You see this?
A door key.
Exactly.
What about it?
This. I take the key over to the window. So, open the window, thus, and toss the key out. Then I close the window, so. And there you are.
Are you sure you're feeling all right, Morton? Living in this flat must have cracked your nerves, Morton. As it's beginning to crack mine. Under the circumstances, I'm sure you wouldn't mind.
If you go, Hester?
Yes, I don't want
to. I'm afraid you can't go. None of you can go.
Now, see here, Morton. If this is your idea of a joke...
Oh, it's no joke. The key I threw out the window locked the only door into this flat.
I don't understand.
Why would you do a silly thing like that, old man?
To keep you all here for 2 hours. Incommunicado, as it were. You see, the telephone has been disconnected. The flat, as you know, is atop an office building. Empty after the Chars have left it at 9 p.m.
Morton, What is this idiocy?
Yes, come on, let us all in on the joke so we can have a good laugh.
Oh, the joke, Simon, was on my late brother Edwin.
What do you mean?
Well, a joke is funny, Hester, and there was something very funny about the manner of his death. Ergo, joke.
They shot.
Cleaning his gun, they said.
What's so funny about that, Morton? It happens all the time.
Morton, I demand to be let out of here. Do you hear me?
Oh, Hester, you may demand all you wish. You may even scream the house down, which would make it most unpleasant for the rest of us. We should hear you, but no one else will.
Oh, now, look here, Will.
I rather think that you had better hear the rest of my, planned entertainment for the evening before you go any further.
You've done something else.
Hasn't it dawned on you yet?
Dawned on us? We all, every one of us, swallowed something in our cocktails.
Bravo, Malvina.
You mean you've doctored our drinks, Morton? Some sort of truth drug.
You each given a lethal dose of a deadly poison, my friends, in a tiny capsule which each of you swallowed with his drink.
I don't feel at all well.
Oh, Hester, my dear, do save it. The capsules are made of keratin. Does the word mean anything to you?
Oh, Morton, for pity's sake, stop this ridiculous farce.
Oh, it's no farce, Malvina. You've each swallowed your capsule. You see, keratin, unlike other capsules, will not dissolve readily. Certain chemical reactions have to take place. And that will take about 2 hours. Let us say till 11 o'clock.
I don't believe it.
Oh, take my word, Simon. It's true.
But why, Morton? Why would you do this?
One of you, the four people closest to him, one of you murdered my brother.
You're crazy, absolutely crazy.
Why would any of us murder Edwin?
You all had motives.
Oh, but you had,
Hester. Edwin was divorcing you for a younger, more beautiful woman. Edwin had taken Malvina away from you, Simon.
Malvina never loved me, and I knew it.
Raymond, Edwin had cheated you in a stock transaction that nearly bankrupted you. Malvina, the night before his death, Edwin told you, no one else but you, that he didn't love you. That he was marrying you for your money. Unfortunately, he didn't tell Hester that. He might have been alive today if he had. Hester would have understood that reason for leaving her. Would even have condoned it, possibly.
Oh, but I did know it, Morton. Or guessed it. After all, Edwin had gone through all my money already. I wasn't unaware that Malvina had a fortune.
Well, that gives you two reasons for killing him, Hester.
Morton, you can't do this. Supposing one of us is guilty of the murder, what about the rest of us? We've all taken the poison.
I don't believe it. It's insane. You're a doctor, Morton. Your job is to preserve life.
My job, my dear, at the moment is to find my brother's murderer. Or murderer, as the case may be.
And we're all to die because of this insane revenge you want?
Simon, there is an antidote to the poison, of course. It can be taken... Oh, I have gone into this very carefully. Any time up to 5 minutes to 11. Now, all the murderer need do is confess. And I shall give the others the antidote. I shall even give the guilty party the choice between handing himself over to the police or allowing the poison to save Her Majesty's government the expense of the trial.
And if the murderer doesn't confess?
That, Raymond, would be most unfortunate, wouldn't it?
Raymond. Over here.
Yes, Simon.
If we both jumped him, Morton, I mean, got him down and held him, forced him to tell us where the antidote is...
Well, gentlemen, plotting against me, deciding that it might be an idea to jump me and force me to tell you where the antidote is?
Morton, I beg of you, stop this insanity.
Ah, yes. That was what you were doing, wasn't it? Oh, yes, I have only to look at your faces to know. Gentlemen... Do let me remind you. I was in a prison camp during the war. Nothing they ever did to me could make me tell them anything they wanted to know. And my jailers, may I remind you, had 10 times more facilities for making people talk than you have. The time, gentlemen, is 9:28.
Malvina, listen to me. I've an idea that may save us all. Oh, I don't think Morton actually gave us poison, Hester. There's only one way to prove it. And I don't care to risk it. Do you? No, I don't suppose I do. Besides, the insane way he's been acting since we all arrived here. No man could be that good an actor. What's your plan? You confess to Edwin's murder.
What?
Are you... Listen to me. Confess to it. Morton will give us the antidote. You can say you're going to turn yourself over to the police, so you take it too. And then I'll get all the others, Simon and Raymond and myself. And we'll swear ourselves blue in the face that you didn't confess at all.
Hester, you don't actually expect me to...
Edwin deserved to die, didn't he? He was a rotter, a complete rotter in every way. I'd actually thought of killing myself. But I hadn't the nerve.
But why don't you confess to the murder, Hester? Why should I be the one to do it?
Don't come the angel face with me, Malvina.
Angel face? Oh, I don't know what you mean.
I mean this. I know you killed Edwin. As surely as I know I'm standing here.
Let me ask you a question. What is the most important thing to a fighting man? His gun, you may answer. You might also answer, the code of conduct of the men of the armed forces of the United States. Because, you know, it is something just as necessary to the fighting man as his gun. And just as he keeps his gun cleaned and oiled because his life may depend on it, so does he keep ever forward in his mind his code of conduct because his life and honor depend on it. Part of the code reads, quote, I will never surrender of my own free will. If in command, I will never surrender my men while they still have means to resist, unquote. During the bloody and costly campaign on the island of Saipan in World War II, the code of the soldier meant something to the men, and to one man in particular. Essentially a quiet, peace-loving man, Sergeant Thomas A. Baker, while with the 105th Infantry Regiment of the United States Army, was up against it one night in 1944 when the enemy launched an attack which called for them to die in honor. Sergeant Baker proved it could work both ways. The enemy attack fell like a saber blow and continually hurled Baker's company back with each savage thrust. During the ensuing days of action, Baker wiped out an enemy position with a bazooka, killed 14 of the enemy in a machine gun ambush using only his M1 rifle and a couple of grenades, and then killed 6 more a little farther on. In a last-ditch stand one night, the company dug in to withstand the next furious assault. In the dark, as the enemy rolled over them in a thunderous attack of firepower, Sergeant Baker suffered a mangled leg from a grenade. Shooting and clubbing the enemy with his rifle, he dragged himself out of the foxhole. 3 of his men tried to give him aid. 2 of them were shot. From the third man, Baker got a cigarette and the pistol and told him to leave. As the rest of the company moved back, Baker propped himself against the telephone pole, calmly puffed on his cigarette, and blazed away with his automatic. He was later found in that position, with 8 of the enemy dead around him, 1 for each shot, and the empty gun in his lifeless hand. Sergeant Baker didn't consider the Medal of Honor he might get. He considered the job that had to be done. His honor was at stake. Surrender wasn't in his code of conduct.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have exactly 55 minutes left to live. Unless, of course, my brother's murderer wishes to confess now.
Morton, there must be some way of reaching you, some way of making you see that you can't do this.
I can, Malvina, and I have.
But why? What purpose does it serve? Edwin was no good, Morton. He's harmed every one of us here in this room.
He was a liberty.
A thief.
A womanizer.
He was my brother.
But if you're so sure he was murdered...
I know it. I can prove it.
Then why not go to the police?
Do you think I haven't tried? Do you think they'd listen to me? The police put Edwin's death down as accidental death, remember?
But if you prove, Morton... Look here, we'd all help you, wouldn't we?
Of course
we
would.
Ah, you'd all help me, would you? Including the murderer?
Have you some proof that it was one of us, Morton?
I know it was. You 4 were the only 4 people he knew and trusted. You didn't see him after his death like I did. And that is, only one of you saw him. The murderer.
Saw him?
The look on his face. Complete and utter shock and disbelief. The look that crossed his face when the last person in the world he expected pointed the gun at him. The last thought that crossed his mind was shock and disbelief. Then the murderer pulled the trigger.
Well, that proves nothing, Morton.
The police agree with you, Hester. They said the look came from the sudden discharge of the gun as he was cleaning it.
And why couldn't it have?
Simon, you obviously know nothing about forensic medicine. If he were cleaning a gun that went off, Edwin wouldn't even have heard the shot that killed him. The bullet would have entered his brain before his face could register the sound of the shot.
And that's all the proof you have?
Naturally not.
Then tell us the rest of it.
Well, no. No, I think we'll leave the murderer to do that.
Well, if no one confesses, Morton, you'll be a murderer. Four times over.
Besides, how do we know that you didn't kill Edwin yourself? As if anyone did. You'd no more cause to love him than any of the rest of us.
Admittedly. When Hester said Edwin had harmed every person in this room, she included me.
Oh, what had he done to you, Morton?
He married Hester.
What?
No, I never said anything, Hester. Not to you, nor to Edwin. But I fell in love with you when I first met you. By then it was too late.
Oh, poor Morton.
Thank you, Malvina. But like everything else, love passes.
But all these years, Morton, you've said nothing all this time.
Why should he have? That would have given him an A1 motive for murdering Edwin.
How do we know you didn't? How do we know you're not just trying to shift the blame onto someone else?
By poisoning four other people when literally no one suspected until tonight that Edwin's death was not accidental?
No, you wouldn't do that.
No, it's all so beastly unfair. Who cares how Edwin died? He deserved to die.
He did indeed.
So it would seem.
Then let sleeping dogs lie, Morton.
I can't, Malvina. Whatever sort of person my brother was, he was my brother. I don't see him the way you saw him just before he died, when everything, including his soul, had gone wrong. I see him the way he was when he was a boy. When we were so very close that... And the boy Edwin was is the boy I want revenged. Twenty-five minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Malvina, Hester, you must tell him. If you don't, then I shall.
Tell him what?
Hester, how can you? Because I know you killed Edwin, and I'm not going to die to protect you. Now listen to me, all of you. A while ago, I went to Malvina. I begged her to save us all by confessing. She protested, but I know she was guilty. I decided to say no more about it then, to give her a chance to confess in her own way.
But I didn't do it.
You were here the night Edwin was shot.
No, I wasn't. I was somewhere else. I told them at the time. I was... Oh, I don't remember now. It was 5 years ago. Yes, I have it.
You stayed at home watching television.
That's it. You were here, Malvina. I know. I saw you.
Oh, that's interesting, Hester. You told the police.
That I'd gone to a film. I know. But I knew that Malvina was coming here. I wanted to plead with her, to give Edwin up.
After all he did to you, tossing you aside like an old glove?
I loved him. I couldn't help myself. I hated myself. But I loved him. I waited downstairs, outside the building. Malvina arrived, and I tried to call out to her. But my voice was frozen in my throat. I couldn't move. I couldn't bring myself to throw myself at her feet as I'd planned. She went on upstairs, and the chance was lost.
Well, Malvina?
I'd come to break it off with Edwin, Morton. I came up to the flat. I rang. I kept ringing, but he didn't open the door. So then I came downstairs again.
Did she, Hester?
I don't know. By then, I was just walking around in a daze, trying to accept the fact that I'd lost Edwin. Not being able
to... Or at least that is your story.
It's true. I didn't kill him, nor did I. Oh, please, can't we stop all this? Oh, I feel as if I were going mad, sitting around here waiting...
Of course we can stop it. The minute the murderer confesses... Which, I remind you, will have to be 20 minutes from now. Ladies and gentlemen, you have precisely 11 minutes.
Simon, it's no use.
What do you mean, Malvina?
I can't protect you anymore.
Protect me? Why, you...
I saw you here the night Edwin died.
That's not true. I was...
You were playing billiards at the club, or at least you were at the club. Fortunately, you never needed to substantiate your alibi once Edwin's death was marked accidental. But you were at the club because I talked with members who saw you.
But he came here. I saw him. When Edwin didn't answer the door, I turned away. I started down the stairs.
You didn't take the lift?
Oh, the lift was bringing someone up here just as I reached the stairs. I stayed because I thought it might be Edwin coming home.
but it was Simon.
Why didn't you speak to him?
Oh, I was too upset. I didn't want to see anyone.
Because you just killed Edwin.
No, no, I didn't.
Well, Simon?
Malvina did see me. My story is the same as hers. I came to see Edwin to plead with him to let Malvina go. But I rang and rang and there was no answer. I took the lift back downstairs again. Well, that's all.
Any more light to be shed on the case?
Well, then we continue waiting. Unless, of course, Raymond. Were you also here that night? Everybody else seems to have been here.
Sorry, I wasn't anywhere near the place. I didn't even know he'd been killed in this room, remember?
Oh, are you sure, Raymond?
Of course I'm sure.
It would be easy enough to find out if you were here, you know. Somebody would have seen you.
Why should I deny it if I were? Hester was here, Malvina, Simon. They couldn't have all killed Edwin.
Of course not.
I could tell the same story as they have, if it were true.
Yes, you could.
I mean, I could say that I come up here, knocked on the door until my knuckles split, got no response from Edwin, and went away. The same as the others said. There'd be no more against me than there is against them, would there?
Presumably not.
Then why shouldn't I admit it if it were true?
Eleven, Morton.
For heaven's sake, man, give us the antidote. You can't just sit there and watch us die.
Well, Raymond, can I?
Why ask me?
Because, Raymond, you killed Edwin.
What? You're crazy.
No, no, I'm not. You told me you killed him.
I told you I wasn't anywhere near this place.
You had an appointment to see my brother that night, Raymond. For what reason, it isn't important. But he wanted to be undisturbed, so he plugged up the electric doorbell with a wad of paper, which I found when I came home and discovered his body. I called the police, went into the kitchen for a drink, saw the wad of paper and removed it. That was why Simon and Malvina got no response to their ringing of the bell.
But that doesn't...
You said. I could say I'd come up here and knocked on the door till my knuckles split.
That was just a figure of speech.
And yet the others specified that they rang the bell. Even in telling the story you might have told, according to you, you betrayed the fact that you knew the doorbell was stopped up. Therefore, Edwin expected you. But he did not expect you to kill him.
Raymond, is this true?
If it is, man, say so. Save the rest of it.
11 o'clock. The capsules will have dissolved by now.
Raymond, help us. It may not be too late.
Yes, I did it, Morton. Now give us all the antidote and I'll take my chances at my trial.
Morton, please, the antidote.
Malvina. Simon. Hester. Even you, Raymond.
Come, Morton. This is no time for making speeches. I can feel the poison working on me already.
Can you, Hester? How strange.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, there was no poison in the capsules, my dear. The capsules were empty.
How can heroism be acknowledged and symbolized? Recognition of outstanding heroism takes the form of America's supreme military decoration, the Medal of Honor. It is awarded to those members of the United States Armed Forces who distinguish themselves conspicuously by gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of life, above and beyond the call of duty, in action involving actual conflict with an enemy. For recipients in the Army and Air Force, the medal is a gold-finished bronze star with the head of the ancient goddess Minerva in the center. A laurel wreath in green enamel surrounds the five-pointed star, which is suspended by two links from a bar bearing the inscription Valor and surmounted by an eagle with wings outstretched. The ribbon pad directly above is light blue, with 13 white stars arranged in the form of a triple chevron. The President of the United States is the only government official authorized to present the Medal of Honor. The award is made by the Commander-in-Chief in the name of Congress, thus accounting for why this highly esteemed decoration is sometimes incorrectly referred to as the Congressional Medal of Honor. Only a very small number of the many millions of U.S. Armed Forces personnel, past and present, have been presented this great symbol of courage to which free men can aspire, the Medal of Honor.
Be listening for another mounting drama of action and suspense when next we bring you The 11th Hour.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.